Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 100.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, don't.
No, don't. Yeah, start over. I think it's what you just said. You just said start over in your very polite way. Yeah. Graham, that was a horrible beginning.
Do you want to be recording?
Yeah.
That's maybe how you want to...
Maybe you just hit the wrong button. That's all.
Is that really the voice you want to use?
Yeah. Is it you now?
Oh, you just made a mistake. That's all.
There's no way you would possibly want to record that stupid intro to this show.
Goodbye, new listeners. Yeah.
It was swell knowing you. Episode 120.
Yes. Not an A or a B on this one.
Not
this
an
is
A or
full
B.
Self-contained episode.
Yes.
No spoiler free.
Last episode was 119 A and B, and I just missed. I put the numbers in wrong when I uploaded it, so that's why everyone was like, "Wait, what's 112? What's A?" And that was just I'm stupid, and I should not be in charge of this equipment, but I have been for 120 episodes. Yeah. So.
So why would we change
that? We definitely want to keep me in charge.
Keep pushing the buttons.
Keep pushing the buttons. They're working well.
So we've got a lot to talk about today.
We have a furious amount of things. I don't know if that's not the word you really would use. They're very angry. All of these things.
It's an angry amount of items so on our list.
Each item individually is kind of pissed off. Together, yeah. They're furious. Yeah.
First, we want to thank everyone for buying the book. The Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies has been going out the door very quickly. We've been really appreciating you guys buying it. And if you didn't know, it is available for Kindle and iPad and all the electronic formats as well. I know some of you were waiting for that. But buy it from us, and we, of course, guarantee 3 signatures.
And, of course, everyone that just saw...
except Greg Proops. We can't seem to get him back in here.
He's
always on the road.
He is. He's on the lam.
Yeah.
I think he's running from something. I want to thank everybody, too, came out to Helium in Portland, Oregon to see Doug Benson and myself, and also at the Improv in Pittsburgh, which I'd never been to Pittsburgh before. It was really cool, and went to a movie in the park there and saw the Muppet movie, which was really neat, until at the end I realized I went there alone. Kids movie. Felt a little weird afterwards. Maybe shouldn't have done that.
Mainly for the people next to you.
Yeah. they were odd folks. Thank you for everybody for that. And really, all the response to the Dark Knight spoiler alert episode, we're really glad you guys liked that. I think we'll be doing more of those.
Yes, like, but only on the Dark Knight.
But we're just going to
keep talking about that one movie
let that
over
movie
and
go.
Over.
Oh, I am. Yeah, that movie was great. All right, so we have a shout out to read.
Yes, another $250 donation for the shout out.
For Susan.
Just read the whole email.
All right, here it is. First, she's giving a pronunciation guide. The haw, her last name is Hawman, Hawman. She writes, the haw in Hawman is like the haw in hee haw, and the man is like the min in your Spider-Man, the way I've been pronouncing Spider-Man. So here's her shout out text. This is very, very meticulous. Hey, Nancy Hallman, your sister wants us to shout dairy at you. She says you are flirting with veganism and apparently need a nudge. Go vegan. That's my quote to you. Do it. Go vegan, Miss Hallman. Not Hawman.
No, Hawman.
Hawman. One word. Say it quickly. Hawman.
Dairy.
Dairy. Dairy. Nancy, dairy. Are you listening, Nancy? Dairy.
All right.
I could cut the bullshit and stop with the dairy.
I don't think it's going to take.
Why aren't you drinking rice milk right now?
No, it's we tried our best, but
I'm trying to be vegan. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. So
Clunky opening. This is really.
You're fine.
Yeah. I think it's all right.
It's fine. It's loosey goosey.
It's smooth.
It's freewheeling.
Yeah.
It's freewheeling.
We need to introduce our guest.
We do. You've heard his.
Keep going.
No.
You don't need to. I am content to just chime in every once in a while
without anybody knowing.
Mystery guest.
Nice.
Very exciting. What if you never say who I am? What if you say who I am and it doesn't make any difference? Oh, big reveal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Blank F. Blankens.
Ladies and gentlemen, back to the show. We just realized it's been a little while. Mr. Paul F. Tompkins is in the garage.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, it's been
great to see Paul again.
Thank you. 2 years we figured out.
Yeah.
2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been a while.
Before Paul actually had his podcast, he was thinking about it.
He was thinking about podcasting. This last was, it was before, because 60 episodes ago is when we did the bad accent episode.
Oh, you know exactly when we did that?
It was episode 60. Yeah. when we did that. The 60th episode. Was
I remember it well.
So here we are 60 episodes later.
Yes.
The accents have gone.
Finally. They were wild
so,
to wear off.
They were so bad. They were so bad.
So we've got some movies to talk about. We got some really interesting films.
Is generous.
It is. It is.
Well, actually, no. There's one that is not interesting. But the other ones are interesting.
Oh, Graham, I wanted to say, I also, for the homework on another podcast, the How Did This Get Made podcast, Paul Scheer and Jason Manzoukas and June Diane Raphael, they watch a movie that should not have been made, but was, and then they all talk about it. And so I guested on their podcast, and they asked me to watch The Smurfs, the recent Smurfs movie, so we could discuss it. And I went and watched that by myself in a movie theater and felt really weird about it.
Yeah, it's a weird...
Really weird about it.
I didn't...
The Muppets, at least, hey, some nostalgia from your childhood.
Sure, sure.
But the Smurfs, come on.
It didn't dawn on me...
There's no nostalgia from your childhood with the Smurfs.
No, I don't think for anybody.
There shouldn't be.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't think
unless
it was
you live
weird
in Belgium.
Until I explained it to somebody, and they were like, wow. And I was like, well, because I go to movies alone all the time.
Sure.
Did obviously. You sit in the front?
It was in a park, so I just sat on a lawn. Like, it was a big...
Oh, was it an outdoor
Yeah, it was
sort
an outdoor
thing?
Movie. They do the movies in the park in Pittsburgh.
Well, and you shouldn't feel weird about that at all.
Yeah.
No.
You might have just been somebody who wanted to sit down.
It just happened to be facing
and doing
where
a long
they were
run.
Showing a movie.
Maybe your dog with the bandana ran away, and you were sitting there in grief. Like, oh, I thought he liked that Frisbee, but he just...
Of course my dog
he spat it out and
would
ran
have
away.
A bandana.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you have you know a bandana. Yes, I wear a Jane jacket, and I drive a truck. I'm a dog guy. Truck dog guy.
A bandana would be some sort of merch that you sell. Yes. your image, your cartoon image would be on that bandana somewhere.
Hey, if it moves units, Paul, I don't care. I get that dog out there.
Dog strike.
You're all about M&Us. Moving units. That's for the layman. Not Susan Layman. She gave me a pronunciation key for her name.
My dog is a great brand recognizer.
Is your dog an influencer? I'd like to invite your dog to Hoosay. Your dog's pictures will be copywritten.
Holy shit. Oh, well, my Palm Strike shirts are available.
All just decide.
Yeah.
Fun's fun, but...
But we have all sizes.
We have all sizes for your dog, your cat, any animal.
Ladies' tees?
Oh, of course, Paul.
There we go. All right.
So Step Up Revolution.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about it. Now, let's talk about seeing a movie alone. Step Up Revolution, Graham.
Oh, wow. Seeing this...
First of all, was it a revolution?
Oh, if you're going to tell me that a flash mob can't change public policy, then you're wrong.
Well, hold on a second. As far as I know, flash mobs are just all about showing up. They dance around, and then it's over.
You missed the whole point.
What?
This should have been called Occupy Flash Mob, because they were so clearly, they wrote this film, whatever. They just churned these out. I'll give these movies credit. They go low budget. They're
what,
like...
What number is this, by the way?
I think this is 4. Because the last one was 3D. Step Up 3D.
Right, of course. The third one. Anytime there's a 3D one, you know that that's the third one.
So, which I remember seeing Paul Scheer talk about how insane it was. Like, they have an underground dance fight and there's rain for no reason or something.
Does anybody actually fight? Or is it all just like dance fighting?
It's dance fighting. I mean, there's a lot of... this movie is like... I kind of am hooked on these now because this is the first one I've seen. They are so ridiculous, and yet the dance numbers are incredible.
Yeah.
They are incredible.
Yeah, it was directed by Adam Shankman, right, who is a noted choreographer. He's done a bunch of stuff, and he is frequently a judge on So You Think You Can Dance, which is a show that my wife and I love. We love that show.
This one was directed by Scott Speer.
I think Shankman, but he's a producer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we saw him plugging it on the show. But that's one of those
things. He's got some back end.
Yeah, we watch the show and these movies come out and they always plug the movies on the show and they have numbers from the show, from the movie on the show. We're like, how come we don't go see these movies? Because if we enjoy the show, how come we're not going and seeing?
It's honestly, it's the plot that it's about as strong as the plot when you go to like some theme park and they weave a little plot into like
into the ride.
Into the ride or like right. the dance. It's that kind
right.
of a plot.
Right.
And you're just like, okay, great, great. Let's yeah. just get on. You know, when you get on the thing and it's all one of those rides where you sit in a car and then you're in front of a movie screen and you feel like you're going through a space or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's always
so this movie is a motion simulator.
It is a motion simulator for dancing. And it's, you know, when you get on them and they're like, well, I'm sure that asteroid field won't bother us. And then, no! Like, it's so, this movie, the plot is like.
Did you see it in 3D?
No, I couldn't do that to myself.
Was this one in 3D?
I'm sure so it was.
What do you mean you couldn't do that to yourself?
How much
of a burden is that to put on those glasses? What are you, Doug Benson? Yeah. I've never had that problem with the 3D glasses.
Really?
Yeah, it's never been. I forget that they're there.
They,
pretty quickly.
I don't know. And I think they just...
For a short movie, it's not bad. But anything over 2 hours...
Everything is over 2 hours, though.
Not the Step Up Revolution.
Shorter.
I would see it for something like an animated... Like, the last time I went actively...
How to Train Your Dragon was really
I actively
3D.
Went out to see that because I knew that would be cool. This, I didn't... I don't know what 3D would bring to this.
Right.
But...
More steps.
You know, it's literally...
You actually learn. You know how to do the dances. That's it's like, oh, it was like right in front of me. Yeah. I've got it.
It's like having a video game in your house.
What was the plot? Yeah,
Spoiler alert on this one, ladies and gentlemen. A developer wants to build... You've never heard this plot line before on the Barrio section of Miami. Mm-hmm. He also has a cute daughter.
Sure.
Turns out she's a dancer.
I'll say.
Tired of doing what dad tells her what to do. And so she secretly teams up with the bad boy of the mob, which is the name of the flash mob that just goes out and flash mobberizes the world. And so... This is going to sound crazy.
Someone get me an 80s dance movie script.
This is probably from the 50s. I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah.
There's an Annette movie
yeah.
that this happened to, and the developer wants to...
Maybe even the 30s. It might be like, you know, like Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, you know what I mean?
I'm sure. Yeah. If anyone has that, let us know the first time this happened.
I want to know the answer to that, too. The first time this plot device was used, like, they're going to bulldoze whatever to build whatever.
Yeah,
and we have to save it through dancing.
Dancing, or surfing, or whatever it was. I mean, literally, it's so preposterous. And this is going to sound crazy. The evil developer guy's daughter and the head mob bad boy, they're going to start to fall for each other.
Oh my God, it's like...
No, I didn't see that coming at all.
It's like West Side Story.
Wow, it's crazy. It is... you never would have seen that coming. And then they decide that they got to use the flash mobbing more for just... They're trying to just get...
For more promotional purposes.
First, it was like promotion, and there's a YouTube contest.
Let's promote our other flash mobs. Yeah.
our flash mob Twitter page. Yeah.
We need to go on other flash mobs to promote our flash mob.
Well, the contest, they have a... Huge spoiler alert, guys. There's a contest they're trying to win. Now, this has never been used before either.
Can I say... I don't know how good it is to just toss out the phrase spoiler alert without giving anybody any context of how long the spoiler is going to go on for. Like, we've all gotten so accustomed to just saying spoiler alert, I'm gonna reveal a major thing, but then there has to be some kind of boundary, some sort of parameters.
No, there's no more boundaries or parameters for this.
Just spoiler alert, you are on your own.
You're
on
go. Freestyle.
Turn this off now.
Not for a movie from the 30s. No, there's no spoiler alert.
For a plot that everyone here has like seen this plot 500 times.
It's like, say, you know, Some Like It Hot. They dress as women.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a contest. The first...
Jesus, I'm sorry.
This is where the writer had to actually cut and paste some stuff. The contest is the first... dance video to reach 10 million hits on YouTube gets $100,000. Not that much money.
Yeah. No.
From YouTube.
For getting how many? 10 million hits?
Yeah. And
10 million.
There's probably 35 people in this damn mob. So how's that cut up? Like, and this isn't going to get you out of the ghetto. I hate to break it to you.
And if you get that many anyway, you
eight
know,
grand a person doesn't...
you share the
it's just tax-free.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? That's not even like...
YouTube would pay you that without a contest.
Yeah.
If you've got 10 million
Everybody,
hits.
You're going to walk away after taxes.
Right inside.
$950.
That's right. Just do sponsored videos. Turn on ads. You know, it's,
so, but then they realize that... They need to start, you know, when the developer is going to take away where the bad boy lives and where they, after they do they flash mobberize, they go to their local bodega bar where the Cuban and they dance in salsa and everybody talks about the good old days. So that's going to be taken down and the community does have a heart.
Yeah.
And so, but there are a couple of there's a dance scene in there when they're in this.
Was there a lot of slow motion water or sweat?
Actually, it was a lot of bright lights and
big city.
There's a very big city.
To fake it, you know.
Oh. In this art gallery is this really actually very inventive and cool dance number where they're like they're integrated with the art. It was real. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, because again, the story aside, the story is just a device to get you to have a reason for dancing.
Yeah, it really device is a strong word. Right. I mean, this is like a
excuse is probably
an excuse. Excuse. Exactly.
It's an accident.
Yeah.
For what's giving really
the flimsy plot is a dance delivery system.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. You know, and, you know, there's all this, like, posture acting. There's always some guys are all in the, like, hey, man, just forget it then. You know, like the scenes where they're not getting along or whatever.
A lot of people moving their necks.
A lot of people moving their necks.
A lot of neck moving.
A lot of...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, neck move.
To turn down your podcast for 1 second. Neck moves. Turn it back up.
And it's... But then they decide where they're like, you know, these mobs, we got to make a point, you know, we got to have a purpose. And and so now they're going to use art for politics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's weird to have a purpose when you're still using the word mob.
Yeah. So, and they get sort of, it was obviously the dance choreographers watched a lot of the Occupy Wall Street movement and they wanted to weave that in there, which I don't know, it was hilarious and ridiculous, but then also like, well, you know, if the Occupy movement were to do this choreographed dance thing,
maybe
there'd be more cameras down there, as right. opposed to a bunch of people going, we don't want to have one voice. Oh, yeah. Well, good luck. Then nothing's going to happen.
There's actually a decent point in there, which is if you're going to do something that's getting a bunch of people's attention, you know, you're going to go march out in the public square and you're going to do like this crazy stunt of a thing. Why not have something to say right. rather than just do it? So that's not a bad message.
It really isn't a bad message because, you know, so much of these movies are just like, look at me, aren't I cool? And
yeah.
And so that...
Or it's just like a Footloose kind of thing where it's just for a very small, selfish group of people. Yeah. Like, yeah. We just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to prevent us from having fun.
Don't close the dance hall.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to put all this time and effort into just having fun.
Yeah. It's being selfish fuckheads.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So challenge people's worldviews so that we can have a good time.
So this was, I was like, what?
I think that's from the 30s too.
You know? Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
So it was really, and in the end, you know, of course, big dance number to save the thing, and the mayor of Miami is dancing.
Was there a big boss dance fight at the end?
Oh God, I wish. But they, you know, the bad guy changes his tune, and
does he tear anything in half? Does he pull anything out of his pocket and tear it in half?
God, I think he did, or maybe I'm remembering 17 so. Other films.
Were there like big words on the top where it said deed?
Yeah, it's just evil rich guy developer contract, and he ripped it in half. So it was great. And you know, the two people who you're not sure if they're going to get together, they get together. They make that happen.
Absolutely.
So if you like... No plot with really there's imaginative stuff in here. Like it was interesting.
Let me ask you, in the Step Up series, are they do they ever repeat any characters or no?
I have no idea.
Have you seen other ones or no?
No.
Oh.
No, you're just on board from this one.
I just wanted to see the revolution. I wanted to see them have a point.
You wanted to see how the new world order was going to come about.
No, yeah, it wasn't that. And look at the prequels.
Yes, I will.
I will. I'm going to watch all of them in order.
It had nothing to do with the fact that no one else on the website was going to watch this movie or cover it. That had nothing to do with why I had to go see this.
Oh, because they're all too manly to watch a dance movie, right?
So I went in there. I'm cool who I am.
None of the women wanted to see it either.
Yeah. It was ridiculous, but I think I will probably see more of these because you get exactly what you want. If you're expecting more, you're
they're not trying to trick anybody.
There's nobody that went. There was nobody that went into that movie going, "This is nothing like the trailer."
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a Hooters. It's like we have books. You know what I mean? It's they're telling you exactly
what.
Like if Hooters was like, "Come in and read. We have Kipling and we have really good books." And you're like, "Oh, what?" And then there's no books. There's just titties and wings. Yeah, so I would, you know.
A lot of angry librarians in your scenario, Graham.
There are. We're going to get some emails from them. So I don't know. I guess I'm saying go see it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
All right. You had a lot more fun watching your movie than I did.
What did you see?
I saw the most depressing samurai movie I've ever seen. And this is the
I mean, that's saying something.
It is. It really is, because I've seen some depressing samurai movies.
I want to see this movie.
I call them satirai movies.
Yeah.
Paul F. Tompkins, ladies and gentlemen.
And you can usually tell by the title if it's going to be a sad samurai movie.
Sure.
The Last Samurai,
mm-hmm.
sad.
Right.
Twilight Samurai, sad.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is called Harry Carey, Death of a Samurai. Mm-hmm. So you know what you're in for when you get into it. And it was like, okay, I'm a huge fan of this director. This is Takashi Miike's new movie, and he did
13 Assassins.
13 Assassins and a bunch of horror movies, and he's an amazing director because of what he can do, how he can jump genres, and how he can do it sometimes in the middle of the same film. Like, this movie had some very disturbing and depressing parts to it. The whole movie is depressing, but it's also, there's some disturbing parts in it, but the thing about him, which is so amazing, is there's like some real human and real just heartfelt moments too. There aren't very many because it would take away from the depression of the samurai dying.
Right.
So, but he's able to do that back and forth the way like someone who just kind of specializes in drama or specializes in horror does. Like he can jump genres very successfully back and forth.
Now I'd heard that this movie includes, I think, 5 to 10 full minutes of extended Apatow style bro riffs. Is that true?
Yes.
Like all of a sudden some of the samurais are just like teasing each other about being gay and stuff.
Yeah, total improvised bro riffs.
It is.
That it's goes really into a dance number that saves the Shogun's Village. It's exciting.
Sam riffs.
You knew exactly what I meant when I said bro riffs and adopted it immediately.
Yes. Hashtag
bro riffs. It just popped into my mind. Like, oh, that's what I would call that. Yeah. That style. Bro riffs.
Yeah, they're talking about swords and honor, talking about cab rides and all sorts
geishas
of stuff.
And everything.
Yeah, so this plot of this movie kind of takes this one concept where, you know, the samurais generally aren't as needed anymore because there's peacetime. So a lot of them are kind of going broke and going hungry. So what they do.
Oh, and this is set in 1972.
This is, 1972. This is like Ghost Dog.
Right around Watergate. Yeah.
another depressing samurai movie. Watergate and Ghost Dog.
But are there a lot of happy samurai? I mean, that era was not a lot of like fun times. I mean,
and the occupation of the samurai is not a happy occupation.
Yeah, this
right?
is not.
But there's some uplifting. Like
this
Seven
is not
Samurai,
a,
it's
a
great.
Baker.
Seven Samurai. I mean, you get seven.
Sure, right. But they always sort of meet these honorable death. I mean, maybe there's some uplifting because, you know, like they did, like Seven Samurai, they did the right thing. They defended the village, but.
Well, this one is based on the premise of that there's actually a samurai grift, and this was really interesting. It's like, because their samurais are starving, there's no, you know, there's no work, there's no food, they're going broke. So what they do is they go into a house of a rich lord and say, look, I want the honor of killing myself in your courtyard because I can't, you know, survive. And the higher the house you kill yourself in, the more honor you retain upon your death. But what it is really is the samurai has no intention of killing themselves. They want the lord to go, no, no, don't do it. Here's some money and go away. So that's the grift that goes around. And then the samurai comes up and the lord is like, well, I'm not going to tolerate that. I'm going to make him kill himself in front of everybody. So, and that's kind of where it kind of starts. And this poor samurai, this is not a spoiler.
Getting
alert,
ready to kill myself here.
This is where it gets very, very disturbing.
I'm not depressing. Kidding.
Really going to do
and
it.
It's when they, you
not
know,
gonna,
they,
not going to be pleasant.
And at the well, and it wasn't because he had a bamboo sword because he had already sold his swords and they still made him.
Oh boy!
So it was very, very unpleasant in parts. And then that's just the beginning of the movie. then it goes from there. Then here's what happens. It gets more depressing from there.
Wow!
But it's one of those movies that it's very well made. It's beautifully shot.
Of course.
And it's so expertly directed. And it's like watching an episode of ER. You know it's good. It just makes you sad.
Right.
It's just depressing.
And Koji Yakusho is in it, who is in 13 Assassins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the lead.
Yeah, there's actually, it's kind of a mix. There's like a couple of stories that
he's
that
actually,
go
I love
an ensemble.
Yeah.
That's why one of the things I love about 13 Assassins was who he is as an actor. Like, he's so solid and has such a range.
Yeah, there's great performances in it. And it's, if you know going in, this is like, I want to see a really good, dramatic, depressing samurai movie. You can't go wrong. If that's what you're looking for on a date night or, you know, at home, this is a great...
Seppuku is a great date night.
This is a great depressing samurai date night.
Hey, want to see how smart I am? Let's go to this movie.
Yeah. You got to read it while you watch it. It's fantastic.
You want to watch me kill myself?
Yeah.
Let's go date night.
Does that give you any ideas?
We'll go grift a rich guy. Yeah. And then...
It's a good movie. It's just, like I said, really depressing. Although I have to say, let's go around right now. Favorite samurai movie.
Ooh. I'm going to have to go Step Up Revolution.
Yeah.
Sure. I want to go that one samurai comedy, Samurai Yai Yai, where the samurai finds himself in Mexico.
Samurai South of the Border.
That was the theme, yes. Absolutely. It was sung by Michael Bublé.
Who is a great samurai? I don't know. I could go on forever. I mean, I would say Yojimbo, you know, Seven Samurai, obviously, 13 Assassins. Twilight
With Six,
samurai.
You get egg rolls. Is that a samurai movie?
What's up, Tiger Lily? What are you talking?
Going solely on the word egg roll.
Yeah.
There were numbers and...
Breakfast
Everybody
at Tiffany's.
Was saying numbers. Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
Samurai Wonton? What do we got? What do we got? This is so... Oh, God. I'm sure on a deep...
Crazy Nights?
Yeah.
That joke had to have been made on a Dean Martin roast. Like, it had to have been, what does that come with fried rice? Ain't love a kick in the head. And it went into a song. Come on.
That's right.
All right. What are we talking about?
Well, I thought we were going to actually name them.
I actually named
he
a couple.
He named a bunch.
Yeah. All right. How about?
I don't know that I've seen any samurai movies.
Seven Samurai.
Haven't seen it.
You know what was really Twilight Samurai.
Twilight Samurai is such an underrated.
Like, yeah, you got it.
Yeah, such an underrated samurai film.
And I'll say 13 Assassins was really good for
an
action.
Really good. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 13.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Yeah, those would all be on my list too.
The idea that I'm trying to pretend as if we're saying it at the same time.
Yeah. I love this character.
No one knows. No, I really got out of that one. Boy, no one knows.
That was close.
I've never seen a samurai movie.
So, Paul, let's talk about how no one saw the watch, or the we'll have a review on the site, and we're still going to see Killer Joe. We missed that one this weekend.
Oh, man, that's definitely, I really want
to
see
It's difficult to find. It's still limited release, and it's not playing
Killer
in a lot
Joe
of places
Killer Joe I haven't
yet.
Even heard of.
This is the Matthew McConaughey movie, directed by William Friedkin.
Has he not directed anything in a while?
It's been a while. It's been quite a while. And this movie looks really good. I don't know why it is literally in 20 theaters in New York or LA.
Well, NC-17 might have something to do with it.
Is that what's doing it? Yeah. Well, that's dumb.
It's so crazy that still is that could be a barrier at all. Like a rating could still be a barrier to viewership. That haven't we all grown up by now?
Oh, I know. Plus, like with the internet, the access that you get to everything is anybody really?
I'm not even quite sure what NC-17 means in terms of content. Like if I saw that rating, I wouldn't be like, oh well, I certainly won't be seeing that film.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's
R is one thing, PG-13 okay, but NC-17, forget it.
I know, and. They just don't
I think it's more sex than violence, because have you ever seen an R movie and you're like, oh, this should be NC-17? No, they're all, you know, ridiculously brutal. Right. And yeah.
We've talked about it on the show, though, that the ratings board is just all these bizarre, arbitrary, take out that 8 seconds and it'll go from NC-17 to R, whatever. Yeah. And it's like,
And the idea being NC-17, the idea being that kids... If you're under 17, you can't even go with a parent. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
That a rated R movie you could bring your child to because you're supervising them and what they're taking in from the movie screen.
Right.
So there's a constant dialogue that's going on while you're watching the film.
Yeah, that's the theory. Yeah. Sure.
He feels betrayed. These are heavy themes. His rage is actually fear coming out, but that's the only way he knows how to express himself. He's in a moral quandary.
Yes, folks, use the cinema for educating your children.
I just want more popcorn.
Shut up.
Watch the heavy theme.
Watch the heavy theme.
So let's talk about...
what I wanted to talk about real quick. First, real quick, thank you everybody for bringing us up to speed on Richard Ayoade, or the British comic that we didn't know. We can't know everybody. Don't be angry with us. We can't know everybody.
And you will.
You will. Yes. And if you don't, you're dumb.
So now we have a nice viewing list of where to check him out on different movies.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
We're going to check it all out.
The IT Crowd and some Adult Swim stuff. So we'll check
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Which I'm sure people have.
Yes,
that one I've actually seen. That's good.
It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. I saw, and you. I know this came out a couple weeks ago, and you saw it. But I just want to talk real quickly about that movie, The Untouchables.
Yes,
that came out, that French film. I was
again very unfortunate title.
Yeah, it is. That's one of those things that happens with foreign films.
With the translations off.
The translation is just off. But
like we talked about it when we did. Like if you put that in Google, immediately comes up. Did you mean Untouchables with Robert De Niro?
Yeah. Well, because if. If you're going to put the title into English, why not just pick a different word?
Right. just get the...
Because you're already changing the title of the movie so that people understand what it's about.
Right.
That's not helping anything.
No.
Intouchable? That's not a word.
Just go with the theme of the movie.
Yes.
Start from there. Start with a clean slate.
Surely there's another word. Like if you want to go for the one word title,
there's a dictionary full of them. Oh. You could just pick a different one.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, I really like this film. You know,
it's a good movie.
It's very good. It has some sad stuff and some very touching stuff. And these two French actors in it are excellent.
It felt organic, too.
It felt so organic. And it is based on a true story. It is based on a true relationship between a guy that's confined to a wheelchair and his aide who came from sort of a rough neighborhood that a developer wanted to put a hotel on, and they danced off, and that's how we saved it. That was the movie. No, that's not what the movie. So I was unsure.
It looks for a second like it's going to go there, though. To be fair,
I would love to make a movie that's some really intense, heartfelt indie film, and then just throw in some step up shit out of nowhere. I know
what we'll do. Let's have a dance off.
Just out of like Meryl Streep, and just put all these people in it that you're like, oh, this is the movie. This is going to be the tearjerker Oscar, and then just like everybody dance now.
So you would make Mamma Mia.
I would totally make Mamma Mia. Anyway, The Untouchables is definitely worth seeing if you haven't checked it out, and I'm sure it's very limited release, so when it comes out on DVD, make sure you check that out. So now, we can go into the...
Let's talk about for because Paul's podcast wasn't up last time he was here. Let's talk about your podcast and then what movie genres that you actually like, some older films you've seen.
Because your podcast is different than a lot of the other comedy podcasts. Like, tell it for fans.
It's well produced.
Who don't.
There's editing.
Unlike this show, I don't have time for editing.
It is. It's not a conversational podcast.
Say the name of it for the fans.
It's called the Pod F Tompcast. Mm-hmm. It's more of a theater of the mind kind of thing, and it kind of combines all the things that I like to do, which is sort of stream of consciousness, riffing and sketch, and there's live clips from a show that I do at Largo here in Los Angeles every month, and there's also a conversational element with my friend comedian Jen Kirkman, where she will just talk about she'll just tell a story like from her life, you know, and the idea being that we're two friends and this is actually how our conversations go, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's all the things that I like to do in one place. And it's been about 2 years. We're on a little break right now because it is very heavily produced, and there's a lot of music and a lot of different audio sources, and there's a sketch that is written exclusively for the podcast that I do all the parts in, and so it's like all of that does take a lot of time and effort.
Cake Boss and
specifically, how much time does it take for you to do multiple character thing?
Like recording that thing is,
well, you have to change costumes too.
Yeah, of course I do. I do it in full costume. The performance of it does not take that long, but it's the editing of it that's the problem, because I'll record one side of the conversation, then the other side of the conversation, and then sometimes a third side of the conversation, and then Eben will put it all together, and we have gotten better at that process and cutting out a lot of time from that process, figuring it out as we go. But there's a bunch of sound effects that are then layered in, and sometimes music and all that, so it does become a very elaborate affair. So when people complain that it's a once a month podcast and that sometimes 2 months will go by without an episode, it's like, guys, you gotta kind of notice that this is a sort of involved thing, right? Yeah. Like when you listen to it, you pick up on that, right?
And it's still free, right?
Yeah, it's still free.
People are, for the most part, very nice and very loving when they are complaining about how infrequently it comes out.
And you're right. Usually those complaints do come from I love what you do so much. Yes. I just would love it more.
Yeah, absolutely. More often. And I totally get that. Yes.
Which is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Every once in a while you get the one, I can't stand what you're doing, but could you do like 2 episodes?
And such small
so
portions.
So I can hate it more.
What was I going to ask? Oh, have you done, because obviously we've done this, a lot of other shows have started to go do their podcast in front of live audiences. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to do that?
We've done it once in front of a live audience. We're getting ready to do it again in the fall. And it's, as with the studio podcast, it is a lot of work to put it together. Because we wanted to, we did it last year at Largo. And we wanted to make it as much as we could like a different experience and make it more of a show. So we had wardrobe that we wore, like these kind of uniforms that we wore, and we rented some different equipment and everything to give it a slightly different look as much as we could, at least to, because we don't have, it would cost a lot of money to like build a set, to decorate the area as much as we could and make it look like a different space, we did, and it was fun, and we're getting ready to do it again, and hopefully we can
must be at Largo again.
Must be a lot of just from a tech standpoint rehearsal to get all this, if you're doing sound effects and all that stuff.
There was a sound check that was fairly stressful, but but once we knew where everything was plugged in and when it happened, then it was fine, and honestly it went off, I think it went off, if memory serves, without a hitch. And then at the end of the night, there was really no post to be done, so we had the podcast, which was great. For the first time, it was like, oh, it's all done in one sitting.
Oh, man,
this is how everybody else feels.
Yeah, record and we'll post the same day. That's crazy.
Exactly.
I know.
Well, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Well, we should announce now Paul F. Tompkins going to be at the LA Podcast Festival, too.
That is
as
correct.
A guest, because doing it live, as he just explained, is not possible.
It's a bit tricky.
So he'll be a guest, and quite possibly will be doing one of the characters on the Saturday Night Stand-Up Comedy Show. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who knows who's going to show up? Are they going to have a dance-off? We don't know.
Oh, now you got me thinking about it.
Samurai dance-off? Come on, buddy.
Now you're talking.
I'm just throwing out ideas.
Has to end with a suicide grip.
Yes, suicide grip. Oh, that's Fast and Furious, suicide grift.
It's a bold grift, though, the suicide grift.
It is. It's
a bold grift.
I say swing for the fences.
Yeah,
if you're
that's not
grift.
A long con.
No, that's not.
Hey, you know what? If you're probably going to commit suicide anyway.
We're all going to die.
Right?
Yeah. Why not speed it up. Out, get a few coin.
Why not going out trying to hustle some dude? all right, let's talk about now your favorite movie genres.
I love epics.
Sword and sandal.
Yeah, the occasional sword and sandal, but they don't all have to be. They don't have to be biblical. I love big sweeping stuff like that, and you know, David Lean is one of my favorite directors.
Of course,
my favorite movie is Lawrence of Arabia, and I love stuff like that so much that if they. If you can watch a movie like that and not be aware of the amount of time that it is taking, then it's that amazing. Movie has succeeded. You know,
I will say the best place to see Lawrence of Arabia is with Paul F. Tompkins. We saw it at the, I think we saw it, did we see it twice, once at the Dome and then once at the LA.
Because we got to town around the same time.
Yeah,
And the Cinerama Dome was having some sort of anniversary or something.
Unbelievable.
It was Columbia Pictures.
I remember that. That was
restored print.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That
amazing.
Sat right up front at the Cinerama Dome watching that movie was tremendous.
Yeah.
And then I think at the Museum of Art. I think LACMA show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I absolutely love that movie. Peter O'Toole is my favorite actor.
He just retired.
I know. I was genuinely saddened to hear that because, not because I think he's so great, but because, you know, look, we're in show business, and it's like you sort of hold out hope because you don't give up dreaming. You know, even though I'm fortunate enough that many of my dreams have come true. Mm-hmm. There was always somewhere in
what
my
about being
little
a vampire?
Heart, I was like, what if I could work with Peter O'Toole someday?
Know,
like for one second, you know what I mean?
Like, and especially
like I would be an extra in a movie to walk past him in a hallway.
Yeah,
know? Chris, I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge your vampire joke.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all right.
But I feel that for the listener, that is always a curse. It's never a dream.
Vampire jokes?
Talk to any vampire, and they will tell you they're not happy
dark
about
shadows.
It.
You're right.
Dark shadows. Dark shadows.
Here's what I want to say about Lawrence.
By the way, watching that movie, a curse, not a dream.
I have not seen it yet. I'm a big Tim Burton apologist. The only thing I have outright not enjoyed on any level was Planet of the Apes.
I don't even think
he enjoyed it. I don't think he wanted to do it. And it was a weird
and
thing.
And I love, and I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. I saw his exhibit at LACMA. It was amazing.
I'll bet it was.
Yeah.
It was
a great exhibit. And, but yeah, I'm the same way. Well, he's made some good movies. Don't worry about, you know, those. And
well, here's what I want to say about Lawrence of Arabia. For anyone out there who has not seen it, obviously, if you ever get a chance to see it on a big screen, that will change your life. But just even watching it on DVD is so worth it because, you know, it's got the thing about that movie that people don't necessarily realize with the epic. You know, a lot of times the old epic movies that you like that you're talking about, they don't necessarily go into as much about the horrors of war. And his character in this, that scene where he says, you know, I've killed a bunch of people and I liked it. Like that to me sums up the whole movie.
Yeah.
And in this huge, you know, David Lean epic, you have that just deep personal moment about what war is and the reality of it that a lot of people don't want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
That, I actually liked it.
Yeah.
You know, and that movie is...
Well, it starts his, like, kind of Christ complex that they really hammer home in the subtext, especially when, like, he starts bleeding again. It's like, okay, stigmata, got it. You know, it's... Yeah.
It's a tremendous performance and a tremendous film, and it is absolutely worth your time.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Oh, a little piggyback recommendation?
Yeah.
On the Peter O'Toole tip? The Lion in Winter.
Oh, great movie.
Which is based on a play and the most amazing collection of actors and just a lot of fun. It's a really...
Didn't it have a sequel, too?
No, I do not believe. It's sort of, in a way, it's a weird sequel to Beckett.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Because he plays the same character. Yeah. Okay, that's... Yeah.
Many, many decades apart.
Right, right.
And then I'm forgetting that kind of comedy he did, Year of Our... What was it?
Noises Off.
Ruling Class?
No. You guys are jackass.
My Favorite Year?
My Favorite
Year.
Well,
no, The Ruling Class is an actual movie, which is sort of a comedy. But yeah, My Favorite Year, which I will say this. I watched that recently. That is half a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
When he's on screen, it's great.
It's amazing.
But the rest of it is a little bit...
It's 1980.
That's some classic
would you like
corn.
To tell
it's
the,
1983.
Yeah.
It's, it's 1983.
Paul,
sure.
Would you like to tell the Peter O'Toole Itsy Bitsy Spider story?
Can I say no? Because I'm going to write about that soon.
Okay.
But yes, so I would rather not give it away now.
Okay.
Yes.
What other...
But there's a little teaser for you.
Okay.
Yeah. There
look
is
for that.
If you'd like to learn more about Paul F. Tompkins.
What other epics do you really like?
I just saw Dr. Zhivago for the first time, which I'd never seen. And again, David Lean and about the Russian Revolution. And
that one feels longer.
It does feel longer, but I think in a way that... It makes sense for that movie because there's so much that I didn't know about the Russian Revolution, and there's so much horrible stuff that's depicted in there. And I had the thought, like, well, if it's depicted as this horrible in this movie, it must have been 1,000 times worse in real life. And just how long it took for this to take place.
Right.
Because, you know, maybe it's just my general ignorance of this particular moment in history, but... You sort of, you know, in American history, in world history, when you're a kid in high school, you're sort of like, yeah, and then this happened, and then they were communists. And it's like, well, it wasn't quite that, didn't happen quite that fast. It didn't, it
not
took
in
more
one
than
paragraph.
A sentence. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But it's, again, amazing performances, and you know, the lives of these people against this backdrop is really, it's really amazing.
Was there any epic movies that you went, wow, this is going to be great, and then you're like, I am bored to tears with all these people running around
I think
in costumes?
I think people have lost the ability to tell those stories. And I can't recall a recent or a modern epic like that I felt like, wow, they did it. You know, they held my attention for this. Because, you know, you watch
Lord of the
movies.
Rings.
Lord of the Rings, I will give a lot of credit to because I read those books when I was a kid, loved them, went and saw The Fellowship of the Ring, and I thought, they did an okay job adapting that, but you know, I think they could have done better. And then I went back, tried to reread the books. I got, honest to God, 25 pages into the first book and threw it across the room. I was like, I cannot believe how densely packed this is
with Tolkien
too
writing.
Much detail about what they eat for breakfast and how often. And then I
just
was
describing
like,
a forest takes pages and pages and pages.
And then I thought, oh wait, he did a much better job adapting that book than I thought. And then I enjoyed the movies. But I'm talking like a standalone, just single movie.
Like maybe a historical epic.
Yeah, you just feel like, anytime, honestly, any movie that's going, if you're going 2 hours plus, like,
you got to show me something.
I can always feel it. I can always feel it like, oh, they could have lifted that out. That did not need to be in there. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like gratuitous sex or violence. It's just like, this is boring. Ghost Protocol. I saw that recently. Mm-hmm. It was like, there was a lot of great stuff in this movie. So much good stuff. It did not need to be this long.
Oh, I know.
At all.
And I think
at
too,
all.
The issue too in terms of how it's harder to make an epic like that is the special effects issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like back, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, it's every horse on that movie is a horse.
Yeah.
The guy was riding in a desert.
There was no digital multiplication there.
And so have that as a director and that scope and size of a production.
Or like a movie like Ivanhoe. When you look at movies like that, you're like, oh my God, they just don't make movies like this anymore. Even if they make movies that look like that, they don't make them that way anymore. They just don't. because even with Braveheart, you know, a lot of that was one of the first ones where they touted all the special effects where like, well, no, there's a bunch of guys on a hill, but it's only, you know, a quarter of how many you actually think there. Actually. And then they just, the computer just multiplied them.
Yeah. Right. Which maybe don't talk about that before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's all I'm going to think when I see that.
It's like, well, which guy's real? Which guy's a computer robot?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah, I think it's a very tough thing to do. And something like Saving Private Ryan, which had some amazing sequences in it, couldn't hold a candle to something like Band of Brothers, you know, which was
more story-driven.
Yeah, more story-driven, mm-hmm. but also it really let you into the people that were involved in this in this war in a way that Saving Private Ryan did in a very Hollywood way. Yeah.
Well, also Band of Brothers, they had a lot more time.
They did have a lot more time.
It's based on a book. You know, it's based on the Stephen Ambrose book, so it was about a specific unit of guys where Saving Private Ryan, like you say, was more of a... just some of those guys in D-Day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But how that framing, did they need that framing thing, you know, at the graveyard at Arlington? You know, did they need that, tell me I was a good man and, you know, all that stuff? Did they need that? And I feel like it's little things like that that, for me, let the storytelling down, you know?
Right.
That it's, this feels very much like a movie. Whereas, that opening sequence where they are storming the beach, like that's you felt like, oh, this is war is a horrible thing.
Yeah,
and it's I'm right there with them.
Yeah,
that really that opening scene changed action sequences in movies because after that it was just like you had to hold it up to that.
I mean, Spielberg did crazy things in that opening scene. Like he put like cameras like on drills to shake. I mean, all sorts of like things that had never been done before to give you that visceral feeling.
Oh, and the guys coming off of those boats and just this, they're vomiting, they're terrified, the way the bullets were flying, just the climbing over bodies just to get, you know, the way he captured that, and then you watch the old archival footage, and you're like, "Yeah, it was just a sea of bloody bodies on that beach. It was horrifying," and how he did that. Anything else, or should we move on along to the?
Let's move on.
All right. So there's some. What are these movies coming out on DVD?
Now, what is this?
Yeah, Damsels
now,
in Distress.
Hold on.
ATM and Detention.
All right. So what are we going to look up first?
you know what I want to look up first.
Yes. ATM is a thriller set in an ATM vestibule.
Okay. Yeah. This is on a late night visit to an ATM, three coworkers end up in a desperate fight for their lives and they become trapped by an unknown man. Come on. Have we run out of everything?
We need something like Phone Booth, but bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Toll Booth.
But slightly bigger.
Yes. Can we do Toll Booth? No, it's all automated. It's digital now.
Too many people driving past.
Yeah, they just have those iPass stickers in their car, so that won't work.
I hope it's established what they need cash for. That they can't just use a credit or debit card.
That they got to have cash.
Hey, let's go to that new cash-only restaurant.
Yeah. No, I don't want to. I don't use credit cards.
Come on, coworkers. What's the worst thing that could happen?
But look, I have this thing that I have to do because my kid is sick on a contrived in a plot exposition. My kid is stuck in a plot exposition.
I would see a movie called that, Plot Exposition.
I would see that movie, actually, yeah. For sure.
And then you go, I can't wait to hear what this movie is about.
I don't know, dark time.
So let's move on to just movies coming out this weekend. All right. Now, we've split on this. Total Recall, I want to see this movie.
Why?
I really do. I love the Schwarzenegger
one. I've turned the
corner.
I want to see it now, too.
What?
I want to see this.
All right, I'll see it with you guys.
Yes! But we're all. I just need to go to an ATM at midnight.
I will say this. When I heard they were remaking Total Recall, I could not have cared less because people that have an affection for that dumb movie, that's absurd. And I think that speaks to a certain generation who is afraid to let go of things from their childhood because they're afraid somehow it's a judgment on them.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to get caught. Like rather than say, oh, I've grown up now and I realize that was a garbage movie.
Yeah.
You know. It's sort of like, oh, if I admit that, then what else do I have to admit? And
my whole life is a sham.
Yeah. It's like, it's okay to say, no, my brain wasn't fully formed yet. I was a child, and that's why I thought that movie was good.
I liked Arnold running around fighting and three tits.
But like, it's like they're afraid somebody's going to go, aha, you liked a bad movie. So they have to now stick up for this terrible movie. But then, so I was like, yeah,
so
there's
I'd like
no
to
way.
Stick up for this terrible movie.
But not, you mean, you're going to go see this, but not, you know, not the original movie.
Oh, the original had its charm.
Oh my God, Chris.
Seriously.
You're doing exactly what I'm talking about. It had its charm when you were that age that you saw it.
Yeah,
yes.
And it was the same
but
director
now.
as Starship Troopers, right? It
was Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, and the
before
way
he went nuts
the way
he with
shoots
Showgirls.
A movie.
He really went nuts.
Oh, no, he went nuts whenever he shoots a frame of film. You know, when you watch his movies, it's like, this is really weird, and I'm going to put it right in your face. That's the way he shoots movies. Like, no matter how creepy or weird it is, it's like, well, no, I'm going to make it a close-up now. Like that weird alien that came out of the stomach. Remember, it's like, but that shot that lasted forever. Yes. That scene
here,
and it's also a Philip K. Dick story.
Yes.
So you can't really. You got to look at kind of the bare bones of where it came from.
This is an example of when we talk about why did they remake this,
and I can't let go of my childhood. So that's
we're in a garage with gargoyles. For the love of God, look around you, sir.
So I'm going to say half right.
Who directed this one? The remake.
The remake.
Len Wiseman.
Len Wiseman.
Oh, yeah. The underworld guy.
Yes, who married Kate Beckinsale.
Mr. Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
Was in this. I did see a trailer for it, and I thought it looked better than I thought it would, but
I'm still
not going to rush right out.
Here's what I think. The original one in 1990 has a lot of ridiculous, just classic Arnold movie thing.
Yeah, and just so we're clear. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, he's never been good.
There's certain things.
Well, that, okay.
Conan
can't
the Barbarian,
argue with that.
He's great.
It's the best he's going to be.
Yeah.
In a terrible movie.
Right.
Conan the Barbarian's awesome. How dare you say that about my childhood? You have just insulted my family, sir.
That's our family film.
My real name is Barbarian Elwood. That makes no
sense. We started at a drive-in with Gremlins. It was great.
Stop, don't bad about Gremlins. Don't feed them after dark. It's real. No. The premise, the Philip K. Dick premise,
Beginning.
Is one of those things that I go...
Great sci-fi premise.
Remake this the right way.
Yeah.
Like, these are the kind of movies I think should be remade where you, at the time, like, I would love... I think we've talked about this. I'd love to see a remake of Logan's Run today. Like, what would that be like?
Right.
Logan's Run has some awesome
elements.
That
will be the 2012 election.
But like, that's why I'm curious. When I first heard this, I was like, oh, come on. But then I saw the trailers and I'm like, this actually could be the correct telling of the Philip K. Dick story.
And they never go to Mars.
Yeah.
Oh. And
they never go to Mars in the remake.
Why didn't they entitle the remake, Get Your Ass to Mars? Which should have been the title in the first place.
Should have been called Total Recall Mars Revolution. Is what it should
get your ass to it.
Get your ass to Mars. All right. What else? Wimpy Kid Dog Days.
Yeah, there's been a ton
of
these movies.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all set.
Thanks. thank
you for the offer. But
this one is, we'll just jump down to limited release, Celeste and Jesse Forever. This is the Rashida Jones, Andy Samberg movie. And this is about divorcees that kind of stay friends and help each other out with their new dating.
It's not impossible, you guys.
It's actually...
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
Yeah. So one of our writers actually went to a screening of that, so we'll have a review of that.
I got divorced last year. I'm never going to see this movie. I don't want to see this.
I thought you were going to say your ex-wife again.
I am never going to see my ex-wife again, and I don't want to see this movie.
Can I ask, that reminds me of the movie Rabbit Hole with Nicole Kidman and... what's his name? Harvey Dent.
Harvey Dent and Harvey.
Surely
Dent.
Has a real name.
No,
Aaron Eckhart.
It escapes me. Aaron Eckhart. Thank you. It's a movie about a couple who lose a child.
Lose a child. Yes.
When are you ever going to say, "Hey, let's go see Rabbit Hole"?
Oh, if you lost a child.
Who would be in the mood? Yeah. Even if you didn't. Who would, like, your ideal audience would be people who could relate to it in some way. Who would that would never happen.
Right.
Like, but when are you ever going to be in the mood, whether you've lost a child or not, to go see a movie about a child dying?
It's,
you know what? Right after you see Harry Carey, Death of a Samurai.
When you're on your end of the road.
Yeah.
And then go see The Road.
Yeah. I just need one more film to push me over the edge.
This
and you can pick one of those three.
This is it. All right. Anything else?
All right.
Yeah. All right. Enough.
All right.
Just stop it.
That'll do.
Quit the horsing around. I very much sounded like a gym teacher.
Stop playing grab ass
yeah,
over there.
This isn't a grab ass farm. What?
Grab ass farm.
It's a really nice farm.
Yeah.
This garage is getting hot.
It is.
It feels like a bit of a grab ass farm.
Yeah.
I like how that sounds.
That they should remake. Yeah. They should remake
Grab Ass Farm.
Grab Ass Farm.
Yep.
The original had its problems.
I would watch
that's
that.
Right.
But
Step Up, Grab Ass Farm.
Sure. I would watch that episode. Yeah.
A developer wants to pave over the Grab Ass Farm with a Costco, and they've got a dance in a farm.
Where are the animals going to play Grab Ass?
Grab Ass Farm.
Can I say, I do like the idea that you gauge how long the podcast should be by how hot it gets in here.
A little hot? Wrapping it up.
Everyone's face is glowing. Yeah. Time to stop.
Time to go.
All right. Well, I think that's our program in its entirety, isn't it?
It is.
That's what we're calling it. Well, thank you so much to our recurring guest, Mr. Paul F. Tompkins.
And where can people find you?
On the
internet.
PaulFTompkins.com, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, all the usual places.
Outstanding.
Excellent.
All right. Well, Chris, you and I will be...
We will be in lovely Lake Tahoe, where it will not be quite as warm
as this garage. It'll be very arid.
Yes.
Because it'll be a dry heat, unlike this garage.
Roughly 6,000 feet elevation is where Lake Tahoe.
We'll be there next week from Wednesday through Sunday.
August 8th through 12th at the Improv at Harvey's Lake Tahoe.
Very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
yes, an SLT.
Congratulations, you guys.
Yeah, hello. All film nerd all the time there up at the lake. Anything else to promote, Christopher?
We've got, as usual, we've got the book. We want to also let you guys know we have both premium episodes are available both in our store and on iTunes. Ooh. The summer movie preview.
Hello.
And also the book launch and 100th episode extravaganza.
Yeah, that's there.
They're both only $1.99 because a lot of you guys are asking, hey, how can we help out? If you just buy a little bit every once in a while, that helps us tremendously.
And also, too, like promoting it on your Facebook, Twitter, blog,
sure,
whatever.
Sure, like even like writing a review on Amazon, something like that of the book helps us out. Any little thing like that really helps us, and we appreciate you guys because we said it before, we've got great fans.
You guys are awesome.
And we've read the reviews on Amazon, and they're absolutely hilarious. Yeah. They're fantastic.
You give us pronunciation guides when we say your name, Hallman. Dairy. All right. So thank you guys so much. Give us your thoughts and comments on the message boards and the Facebook page. Thank you once again, Paul F. Tompkins.
Thank you.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I am Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Dairy.
Everybody dance now.
Wow.